If what we're experiencing and what we're talking about is just a little too much for you, it's okay. Just love him. Just receive love and give love. But the bottom line is, grow in receiving his love and growing in giving his love away, even if you don't understand anything else. Because we're gonna talk about weird things because they don't fit in an earthly mindset. And that's okay if you can't... We can all only access certain levels because what will fit in our being with where we're at. That's okay. Just love where you're at. Love him. Go deeper in giving that away. Love the person sitting next to you on the train. Love your boss. Give generously. Even if you only understand a little bit of what is going on, fruit is being born. That's fruit that lasts forever. So it's not... love is way more important than great revelations. But that doesn't negate great revelations. There's an interplay, and I don't want to make it binary. It's not like you can't have both. You're not called for both. I have to keep telling myself, when I don't understand so much, I have to keep coming, because it shakes me. When you discover new stuff, it shakes your world. And when you're growing, that's how you grow. Your whole world is shaken, and you settle in it. Then you need another shaking. And it's not incremental, is it, growth? It's not... That's the education system of the world, where you... where you connect it all nice and neatly. But what happens? But happens, even in the world systems of education, explosive revelation breaks in, which changes the mindset. Like when they discovered bacteria. It utterly changes the way you do physical things then. Because before that, they could cut you open and change your liver, but you'd die from blood poisoning. They discovered there's these little bacteria things, and if you washed your hands and you washed stuff, then less people died when you cut them open because of that revelation, because of a rediscovery of what was real. But in the meanwhile, you love with where you're at. So I'm going to say we're going to explore weird stuff again, because it's what it feels like when it's not where you are. You know, if it's just far enough ahead of you, you think, oh, I want that. If it's too far, you think, well, I'll have to pause that. Can't handle that. But you let it sit within you because we're coming out of agreement with control when we do that, when we hear stuff. And the temptation for us with theology is safety. We want safety, and we tend to form a framework and principles in our head, and then we read the scriptures from those frameworks from evermore, or you know, until it's blown up again. And that's okay. I can see it. I can see it around me. I can see it in myself. I can see it in colleagues where it's like we take what we understand of a framework and we push it into what we're experiencing and looking at, and that's okay. I mean, God loves us. It doesn't worry God, but he's getting ready to shake you. It's like this. It's like our understanding of that Jesus is God, divine. It's a theology. You very rarely see that directly pointed out like that in the New Testament. What? Why? Because with that blanket understanding, you miss the lovely, beautiful nuances of who the Father is and the Son is. So, bottom line, of course he's God, but it's more than that. He's the Christ. He's the Son of Man. He's the prototokon, the first... No, I can't find a good English word. I don't like any of the theological words. He's the first of all creation. And religious mindset can panic and go, I've just said first of all creation. Does that mean he was created and therefore I'm now a Christadelphian? Oh, just relax. It's okay. You're not just going to suddenly pop out a Christadelphian because you couldn't handle where that fit. It doesn't work like that. You're looking at reality and you're trying to see it. You know how you, and the rigidity of our minds stops it. So what the Holy Spirit comes, he does, he makes us plastic, he plasticizes us, he melts us, he rearranges us. And that has earthly sense. I want to come back to it again. This makes massive sense to the person, massive effect to the person sitting next to you on the train. Your boss, it's huge effect. It's not about whether you can utterly clearly articulate a 3-point gospel. The weird, yeah. And some people have an evangelistic metron, eh? And that's what they got to get on with. And we can try and assess that with an evangelical mindset and all sorts of frameworks. But you just, if they've got that metron, they've got to get on with it. Jesus seemed to do some really weird stuff constantly. And he says weird things. I love that. It just doesn't fit in our evangelical mindset. But because Jesus said it, we pause it and we leave it there. And we don't actually explore it because we'll keep coming back to our evangelical mindset. So there he is dying on the cross. And he says to the guy next to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in Eden. What did the guy do? He just said to the other guy, stop slagging him off. We're dying because we're supposed to. This guy's innocent. You'll be with me in Eden. You'll be with me in Eden in minutes. What is that? Then Zacchaeus, you know, as you know, Jesus comes to his house and eats with him. What an honor. And Zacchaeus is so blessed and so moved, and something goes on. He goes, Jesus, I want you to know I'm giving all my money away. All the stuff I stole, I'm just giving it away. And Jesus goes, well, wholeness, sozo, has come here today. It just doesn't fit, does it? It just doesn't connect. So, Paul says, I'm going to give you a scripture because that'll make us feel safe. It does, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians, I can just about read it still without any glasses. That's amazing. 2 Corinthians 5. Is it 5? I hope it's 5. 16. So Paul has just talked about Christ dying for all of us. The love of Christ compels us. Christ died for all and therefore all died. And then he says, therefore, so, from this point on, we don't look at people comparing alongside thinking of flesh. Even though we did know, and we have assessed and compared and thought about Christ in the flesh. That is, they saw this man walking around and they were offended at this man. And he said and did stuff and they were thinking, who's he to do this? And is he a real Jew? Is he a legitimate? If he's of Jew, is he of Jewish line? What are we going to do about this? His Jewish descendant, he's got the flesh of a Jew, which makes him righteous potentially, but he's doing weird stuff. He's like healing people on the Sabbath. That's a no-no. The flesh that wanted rules, because if you get rules from God, you can find a way around them. That's how it works. That's how it works. But we don't know him like that any longer. We don't gnosko. We don't encounter. We don't interact with him like that anymore. If anyone's in Christ, new creation. There's been a new creation. New kritis. New, you know, the same as in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Same sense, same word, same force, same understanding. New creation, new world, new universe, new reality. You are in a new reality. We don't, so this is not just, you know, and the thing is we've heard that quite a lot from in our Christian teaching. So once you've heard it, you think you've got it. Oh boy, we haven't got it, have we? But once you think you've got it in a system and you want to get it enough so you can understand it, I don't get it, I get it. So you read it until you think you've got it. And I've got it! And I could tell it, but you've already crystallized what you said and it stopped you getting more. Because so, therefore, oh, what did he do that? The Bible crashed. It couldn't handle what I was saying. No, the iPad crashed again, I don't know what I was saying. it's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's the ways of God that old things overlap with new things. There's always that. It's dead, but it's still hanging around for a bit. That's the old covenant. You know, Christ died, still hangs around till AD 70. Until eventually the temple's destroyed. New reality. We start, Paul says, end of Corinthians, we start with the flesh and then with the spirit. You know, you're first of earth, then of the spirit. I want to talk about that connection. Because you guys, I think we're all called, you're called to grow more in interaction in the spirit. Yeah. It is so earthly good. There's so much demolishing needed there, because you'll be a resistance in you. The resistance is because we want to hang on to the flesh. It's fear of death. That's why we always lock everything into the physical realm, because we're in love with the physical realm. We don't want to die, which is to disconnect from your physical realm. And Solomon gets the revelation that you're connected, your spirit is connected to your body by a silver cord, and we desperately hang on to that silver cord. We don't want to leave. But it's not our real, it's just an entity attached to us so we can get on with stuff. Put it crudely. But death is the fear of death is the desperate holding on to that. So you can die even while you're still in your body, can't you? By letting go. Where it means no, it doesn't mean anything to you anymore, whether you live or die. Like Paul says, I'd rather go, but I know I'm supposed to stay because I've got a metron to do with you through my body. I've got to love you and I've got to equip you. That's why I'm still hanging around, because boy, would I rather go. Now that, and he says, it's better. It's better that I go, but in a sense, it is better I stay because I've got to help you. But in terms of where he's going, it's better to live. Funny, isn't it? We think death is the end. It's like, what is that? Rubbish. So, otherwise, why would Enoch be taken? So he's growing in his... There's stunning revelations that Enoch has, and he's still teaching us. He goes, that's it, I'm going. And God takes him. What's the point of that? I mean, gosh, surely with all that revelation, we need him. Why did he go? Would have been so good, Enoch, if he'd written down loads more of it. Why didn't he write it all down? Everything. Why didn't Jesus write down what he wrote? Someone write down what he taught in the 40 days. Though it's possible people did. But it's like, but we're locked into this, and Enoch goes, and that's better. Seems he did come back twice and lectured. But but there we go. There's another sacred cow. Our rigidity of understanding what scripture is. Oh, we get terrified if you go near that. And if I say too much, I mean, my goodness. If it got out on the internet, you'd just see the police that would come at me. The religious police. Oh, my goodness. It used to mess with my head because, I know, I'm at university teaching this stuff. And I'm researching the historicity of the formation of the canon of scripture. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a lot deeper than I thought. This is profound. Something going on here. But I don't want to go there because I could spend weeks looking at that with it's thrilling. But you can be sure of this, that Enoch left so he could return. I'm just at my own little revelatory bubble there at that point. So what am I saying? So the cry is constantly, is it, can you be practical, Paul? Yes. So we're going to, as we grow, we're going to have to expand out of physicality. We locate everything according to physical. It's fascinating how we do that. That's the death mindset locks us into earth. It's why Eve looks at the fruit and says, oh, that's good for food. Well, what was she eating before? Jesus says, I have food to eat you don't know about. And we can eat of the altar. We can eat from an altar that is not of this place. So something shifted, didn't it? Something became overly physical, if you like, if I can crudely put it like that. And we locate everything like that. It's like when, where was the angel? Did you see the angel? Where was it? Totally get it. Totally understand it. You start with that. But perhaps a flip needs to go in on us, and then another flip, and another flip. Well, you realize that physicality isn't the center of reality. Physicality is the peripheral of reality. It's still part of reality, but it's the peripheral. So that, for instance, so like I'm in my house, and I come out of my office prayer room, and as I come out, the stairs up to our bedroom is on my left, and I'm going to go around the stairs towards the kitchen. But as I'm going out, at the corner of my eye, and this is a common way that you, this is one of the initial first ways we learn and never leaves of seeing stuff, is I would call it an impression. You get like an impression. That is a snap shot of something doing something, a shadow, a movement, a sense, and you can ignore it or you can look at it. It usually creates an instant slight physical reaction, but again, you can ignore it. There's, you know, a slight fear. Usually, often a fear, even angels create a fear. What the fear is like a heightened, like, isn't it? It's like an adrenaline, like, ooh. And most of us learn to just ignore those. And when you're a child, you see all of this stuff and you slowly learn to turn it off because you're educated out of it by the world system. And you're taught to live in the flesh. But I know this. I've talked to so many kids and explored this. And they see heaven because it's normal. Why wouldn't you see it? You have to learn not to see it. And which is sadly extremely natural process. And that's okay. But then we've got to go back on the journey to reopen that. Yeah. I mean, that's okay. Okay. It's not really, is it? But it's, you know, it's okay. It's going to happen. And we come out of that. Now, so I'm coming around the stairs, I see flash impression, dark being. Because of my experience, I instantly know it's not a good thing. And it's standing at the top of my stairs. So that's where physically I'm perceiving it. Where I'm physically perceiving it is not the important thing about where it is. In fact, it's somewhere else, but that's how it physically manifests. Get this. It's in the heart of our house. It's at the bedrooms. That's where it is. It's in the heart of our home. Because physicality is the peripheral of reality. I have a home, a space in the spirit with my wife, which manifests in a physical brick house. Are we still with me?
Yes.
My marriage, my locking to Catherine, is a spirit realm reality. It just finds physical expression. Still with me? So when you see, so we see the dark thing there, it's like, oh, it's at the top of my stairs. So, you know, what's it doing at the top of my stairs? It's not that it's at the top of my stairs. It's knocking on the spirit realm house of our lives. Yeah. But you can talk about it being at the top of the stairs. It's fine. I mean, I can go and stand at the top of the stairs and stand in it and communicate with it. And that will help because I physically manifested what is going on in the spirit realm because they're connected. In the same way that if you want to interact more with God, you move physically. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
When you start to worship, you do stuff. Why? You know, have you noticed that when people think, they move their eyes? Have you seen that? Maybe you've been trained in it, where you can tell what area people are thinking by where that people look, because you access parts of your brain by where you look. So on the whole, if you're remembering visual things, you look up to the left. Some people look up to the right, but that's the minority, just like left-handedness. Most people look up to the left. So it's very hard to access physical memories without doing that, because you're interlocked. So if you're going to worship, right, and God is doing stuff, you move, and the more you allow your body to move and move with that, that's what the wave offering is. It's not just standing there going, oh, it's a nice idea, let's wave. God! You're joining in with the movements of God. You're physically expressing a deeper spiritual experience, which is the more real thing. But it's fulfilled in the physical expression. You know, it's got its wholeness there. So you can, of course, you can do it in your mind and heart. It's like you can speak in tongues in your head. Of course you can. But it hasn't finished its full expression. And why would you not let it? Then usually the only reason usually is shame, fear of man. Because we're located more in the physical. So we don't realize that everything's visible anyway. So why shouldn't I be singing out loud on the train if I want to? Because it is out loud if I'm doing it in my head. It's still out loud, except I've got shame capped on it, and I'm worshipping shame. Now, I'm not saying that you therefore have to go and sing out loud on a train, because there's also wisdom and love and honour and, you know, what you're sensing to do. But most of the time, it's just fear, isn't it? So, yeah, but we know, we're Christians and don't want to make anyone feel bad. But we're breaking out of that. So do you see the connection? So there's a dark being. Now, I don't have to get afraid that there's a dark being knocking on our house. So that would be one level, wouldn't it? I don't want a dark being in my... I can't have a demon in my house. So I must put blood on the corners of your house, which does stuff. But why does it do stuff? Because it's not... It's the physical expression of a deeper spiritual reality. That you're going, no, to my space. Because I have space. You've got more space in the spirit than you have physically. But I'm just using earthly terms to try and express it. It's a different kind of space. So what I'm... Because it's not three-dimensional. But we always have to talk three-dimensional. Otherwise, we don't get it until you start to expand more. So it's there at the top. What do? Okay, it's knocking on my life. Why is it knocking on my life? Instantly, I know. So another common way we hear God, isn't it, is flash thoughts that just come in your head, or flash understandings. And usually that's often the first way we learn to hear God, isn't it? You know, you if the flash thought comes through your head, you get desperate, you know, when and you go, God, speak to me, and a thought comes in, you say, well, I think he spoke to me. And it might come really loud or whatever. That's the first openings. And then we get then this frightening thing starts to happen, where we realize that other things speak into our minds. And then you realize that other people's thoughts invade your mind as well. And then your thoughts invade their thoughts. And slowly you're realizing everything is open. And there's nothing that's in a contained box. You can hear everything. But here, you just, I'll start with a, whoa, that was the thought of God going through my head. So I instantly know, it's knocking on, I don't need to be afraid. Now, one level is, I can't handle that, get out of my house, in Jesus' name, shut up. But another level is, if I'm a king and I'm a governor, I don't just tell my enemies to go. I judge. I go, why are you here? You don't want to do that too early till enough is framed. And if you have, you know, that's a whole process, because there'll be a fear of doing that, because like, I'm really going too high here. But then the fear becomes like just the enemy's intimidation, and you need to ignore that fear. But this is how you're going to grow if you've not got this, you're going to grow. So I'm like, well, you're there. Instantly, no. Well, it's because what we're doing with one person and the stuff that we're confronting in that person has been rattled, and they know in the spirit what we're doing with them. So it's come to protest. It's come to complain. It has to, because we're exercising authority. So it's from the person, or it's around the orbit of the person that we've been ministering to, and here it is. And So that's like, oh, cool, good. So you had to come. So then, I want to know what I'm going to do. So I get a judgment from the Lord over this thing and what the purposes of the Lord are. So I'm not just saying go, I'm going right, in a sense. Not that it's all happening verbally, though I might manifest it verbally. Go, okay, God says this, and I loose it, and I come over and above it. And of course, it shifts, it moves, but I'm not worried about getting it out of my house. I'm looking at what is going on because it's attached to that person. And I want them to have every chance of becoming free. How do you explain this stuff? But it's becoming... You're a priest. You're a king. This is how you engage with the world. Why so many things happen in the world because of this sort of activity? Why does someone suddenly find themselves in the right place at the right time telling someone about God? Because there was a whole bunch of spirit realm activity that went on with the sons of God in courtrooms that they may be completely unaware of, and it brings it about. The world is not ruled by... The world isn't ruled by your ministry. Well, so... And this is somehow part of the metron of this house. That you are involved with the world. So angels are all over the world affecting people, because of course they are, because it's not like, here's the 3D thinking we have, oh, the angels have to run like crazy from here and go somewhere else, which is a way of looking at it. That's fine. There's a deep, the world is under and in them. They're over that. So that means they touch anywhere they want to go by thought, by process of focus. Bang, bang. That's how angels move. Bang. It's true, they can walk. So they can choose to physically slow down their frequency so they become visible in the physical realm. But the way they you just move by, tum, 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 you go there. That is of your nature more, but we've become so locked under flesh. So there is a point where you can do that and take your body with you. But that's, when we're standing here in the physical, we think that's spectacular. Love that. When you're here, you won't have got here without realizing it's not spectacular, it's just normal. But it is spectacular. I'm not diminishing it, but it's normal. And it's no longer a pizzazz. It's just you're doing it because of higher things. And your goal isn't to impress. So this is you. You are light beings. You are spirit beings. You're the light of the world. That's a frequency, energy, vibration. It's not a physical. Ooh, of course it can. It will manifest to people's eyes sometimes as, boy, you're a bit bright. What's going on there? And sometimes you might physically manifest. As I'm sure I've said here, praying for an elderly woman. Well, as I get older, I realize she wasn't as old as I thought. And we're praying for her in some church in the middle of nowhere, and I'm sure they wouldn't call it the middle of nowhere, in a rural area, and there's about 15 people there, and she started to glow, and it just slowly increased, so you could have missed it, because it was slowly increasing, but eventually I thought, something weird's going on here, because we're praying for her, she's in an ecstatic experience, never had anything like it before, she's there going, ooh, ooh, and like this, and I thought, she seems a bit, her complexion seems a bit brighter. What is that? And then I actually, I'm doing the Christian thing, holding my hands up to pray like people are, And I noticed that it seems brighter on the one side of my hand compared to the other. And I go, is that a shadow forming? It's like that's something I'm looking at. And the amazing thing was all the wrinkles were disappearing. It's funny that we want that. Is that something? It's like, I want that. I want that. I mean, that's the purpose of resurrection life, isn't it? So I can be permanently 21 in a physical body. the real Christ and her union was manifesting in that physical body somehow. That's the miracle, how on earth that can fit in a physical body. But it can, because it's the periphery of reality. So you're much deeper than that. So you're a star. Now there's the weird thing. You know, because we've been trained physics, I mean, gosh, the Holy Spirit has to constantly do a number on me on the enlightenment. If you really want to go deep in this, eventually, and now if I tell you, you'll probably try and engineer it, but I don't know whether you can, he takes you to the enlightenment. I had a deep repentance season around the enlightenment, which is forget everything that we thought we knew about God and reality before. We have to start from scratch. I think, therefore I am. There is no other reality other than the thought process that I discover. I cannot rely on what went before. That's deeply insulting in the generational line. So arrogant. So if you undo that, the wealth of what went before comes, including the mystics, the Catholic mystics. Whoa. I'm going to say Catholic. I mean, there was only one church. 1100 and before. So, whoa. Anyway, sideline, but a good one. Science, stars, that's it. Luminaries. You have a resurrection body. Have you noticed that? Oh, I love the way when I'm reading the Holy Spirit says, check the tense, Paul. Check the verbs, the weights, because you just said. You have a resurrection body. Yes. And the riches are being stored up in it. Oh. Do you realize? Let's pair this together, because I'm not gonna outline it specifically, but connect this with the wise men, the sages, the sages who came from Babylon for Jesus' birth. Of course, they were trained by Daniel, yes. So they knew what to look for. They saw his star. They saw his star. Oh, do you think that's some kind of alignment of Jupiter and Satan? They were trained by Daniel. Do you think possibly they knew a bit more than about our limited physical 3D understanding of the solar system? No, they were trained by Daniel. His star. His star appeared. When someone is birthed, a star appears. Ah, we're in. We can't fit that in a record because we're thinking, do you mean like in the galaxies where stars are being manufactured? I can't join the dots for you because you have to come here. It's much deeper than that, because stars are not stars like you think. And maybe they're not as physical as you think. Maybe. And what's the exact connection? Well, you have to come here and have a look. Because they're alive. The sun dances and sings as it goes through the sky. I had a very brief glimpse when I first experienced that, a very brief glimpse of that. It changed the weather on the boat where I was when I had that glimpse. But I've told that story here, haven't I? So go and get the MP3. So go from the physical to the spiritual. You think, oh no, we've gone too far again, Paul. How can this possibly help me when I'm talking to a woman who's broken because her husband has left her and she's got 3 kids, and it makes all the difference in the world. Because you're speaking to, you perceive who she is way more. You realize she is a child of God. that she is of his spirit, that she is a star, and that you can speak to her being. And I'm not just being psychologically affirming, and I'm not just talking about you deserve the rights of fair treatment, which is all true. That's all true in the physical realm. That's important. That's true. But much more than that, you're speaking to a spirit and going, without using the words necessarily, you're going, Yahweh made you. Because you're looking at it. You're aware of it. You're seeing, it makes a difference. So people look at you and go, when you say that, it just does something weird to me. When I'm with you, you just, I feel loved. They won't use Christian words like that, do they, often? But they'll be drawn to you or they'll be repelled from you. Because the righteous always, those who hunger for righteousness always find the Christ. And there goes the religion. Sadhu Sundar Singh is testifying to us. There he is, 19. His destiny is to be a guru, a religious guru, and to go around villages educating people in the religion that he's brought up in, and he decides he needs to meet God for some reason, his hunger within him, I must meet God. And he says, if I don't meet you, God, in the next week, I will kill myself and come and meet you. I mean, that's hunger. He's forsaking his life. He's laying down his life to meet Christ, though he doesn't know it. He's going, God, I want you, until halfway through the week, I think it was 4 or 5 days into it, not quite at the end, Christ walks into his house and says, I'm the one you're looking for. Reveals himself to him, talks about his crucifixion and his blood poured out. He meets Jesus. And then from then on, he becomes a guru telling people about Jesus, telling people about the Christ. So cloaked in the religious clothes and lifestyle, meets people and talks about, you really want to meet God? He has a Christ. Let me tell you about this one that he has and how you get to him. And wow. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you find the Christ. Shabbat. And God will lead you to people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. The more you yield to his processes, because he'll send someone. Maybe it'll have to be an angel. Because no one else wants to go, so the angels go, okay, I'll do it then. But it was meant to be our privilege. And they were meant to help us, but they will step in. Woo, shabba, ding dong. So we're going to grow. Our spiritual senses need to come awake. So if you have physical senses, they're the periphery of reality. You have spiritual senses. So you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you touch, you feel. It all goes on in this realm in much deeper ways than this peripheral experience. So of course it will affect your periphery. So that's why you get glimpses of angels, and it's visual, because it's visual. You really are encountering it in a much deeper way than your body can comprehend. But of course your body will manifest it. Your physical senses will manifest it. You have to give yourself to this stuff. You have to become insane. Because there is a line which says, no, don't do it. If you do this, you become really weird. If you go here, you will see demons in guitars and rebuke them. Because I broke a string. It's a demon. And that's what the unseen realm resistance will say. Don't do this. You become weird. You become one of those really weird people. And it'll try and keep pulling you back to normality, which is you do safe things. And that's okay. You can stay there. But there's an alternative, and that's to come out from under mammon. That is physical realm lockdown. And believing you're limited. And that you are a body who just happens to breathe. You're way more. And this, do you want to be stretched in growing, in experiencing this more? Do you want to? It will really mess with your head. Again, what was the point? What's the point of Enoch going? What's the point of that? Because what we ascertain as physical usefulness is not as useful as we think. The real stuff is happening at another level. You cannot, according to Paul, you cannot assess it by flesh. You cannot. It's the periphery. It's a sort of result. It's a sort of bubble up from what is going in the on deeper in reality. So you can't assess your life based on the brilliance of your ministry. It cannot. Whoa. Again, what would be the point of Stephen dying? What a waste. What a waste of potential. Far, far from it. Cosmic, spirit realm, dimensional, multi-layered effect. Powerful. And this is who you are. You're only in this physical body for a short while. This is your real home. So why are we here? To walk it out. To walk it out, to physically manifest it, to be tested, to prove it, to encounter, to start here and end up here. To come from here, come into here, and then go back here. By your own choice, by your own interaction. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Shabba ding dong. So I was trying to be practical. So you come out of your office, you see stuff at the top of the stairs. That'll happen more to you. You will see things, you will notice things, and you take note of them. There is way less coincidences than you think. Here's the weird thing, isn't it? The more you become sensitized here, the more you notice coincidences. And the thing is, people here will go, oh, you're just making that up. But here it's like, whoa. Now, it is possible to have fantasy bubbles within your inner being which distort what you see. So you're constantly trying to prove that God is with you by demonstrating coincidence. That's a demonic distortion based out of insignificance, fear. That's it. I walked in a shop. It was amazing. There was a bargain. They gave me 90% off. It was so the Lord. Well, sounds like I went somewhere dangerous then. that doesn't necessarily mean it's the Lord, does it? Well, it could well be a Lord in a test. Do you want mammon? It's like, I will generate a world around me that enforces my strongholds. Whereas the perceptive, the judging, will see that and go, that's not quite right. But there's an earthly judgment that will just mock. This will go, that's not quite right. And I won't have to necessarily point it out. I'll just love. But there might be a point where I'll confront with wisdom. That doesn't shame, but does rebuke. Because you don't want to stay in that stronghold bubble forever. Well, some people do. But if you want to grow, sometimes it's helpful to know where your stronghold bubbles are, isn't it? So that can distort stuff. So if somehow it gives you value to see lots of angels, because you think somehow that makes you feel significant, then you warp your experiences in that direction. Now, you may well be experiencing lots of angels. You may well. But what's going on here is you're distorting reality to send a message out of your stronghold. So that's why we have to give truth in the inner parts. And that means you have to deal with the fear that, well, if I don't see angels, am I an inferior Christian? Which is often one of the things that stops you seeing stuff like that. Because if you saw it, then you'd base your confidence in that. So there's a shaking. Wow. Is it? Well, I don't know. Shabba. How deep can we go here? So that's why that's why you guys, internally and then externally, that is inside your lives and then around you, you'll see people, you'll be anointed to set the captives free because those bubbles are prisons. And you set people free. It's not, you know, someone's going, everything seems to, I have so many, usually the people who are, I have so many crazy coincidences happen, it's God, but then the next week they're in the dumps because everything just didn't work out. And that's, none of those are the issues. The issue is, why are you in a prison of feeling like no one sees you and you're lonely? That's the issue. Where are you? Let's go there. Can you go there? Do you want to come out of that prison? Wow. Am I treading on lots of toes? Am I being annoying? So we have to expand, and that's why we will learn about the angelic. We will learn about heavenly creatures. We will learn about dimensions. We will learn about how things work. Why? Because we're going to be super spiritual people who've arrived. No, just because that's reality. And that's, so people say, why do I need to interact with angels? Well, no, but why would you think you needed to interact with angels? What's the motive there? It's just that it's reality. So it's like saying, why would I interact with people? I just need God. Why do I interact with people? Well, they're there. And they're lovely. And they're to be, you know, engaged with. Well, why go on about angels? Well, yeah, it's normal. Why do you go on about heavenly deer, heavenly activity, bears, dragons. Why did it? It's just real. It's just normal. And I'm finding a language to express it. So the more you grow in this, you will experience it. So there are real dragons. It could take you to the scriptures. I love the way the scriptures do, when they translate stuff. What do they do? I mean, they got to translate words. So they decide, well, you know, how do we translate this word, guys? This would be a committee of them. It could be a lot of things, but let's stick with owl, because that's safe. This could be, this animal that's described here, let's stick with, well, it is often used of a jackal. So let's put jackal. When it also clearly, in the Hebrew, means sea monster. Or earth monster. I mean, what'd you do with that stuff? I mean, you know, you've got to make a call and translate the word, and people wouldn't know what you meant if you put sea monster. But those things are normal. That's the reality we engage with every day. So you can live just not knowing why you have the moods you do and why things feel different every day and what you encounter. You can live not knowing, and God will be with you, and that's cool, and you can love people. Or you can have more understanding. Yes. Wisdom, because wisdom builds the house. The ecclesia is built by wisdom, that is understanding, perception, seeing. You're called to see. Yes. You draw the line of how far you want to go. Do you want to see? you want to understand, because then you can interact. So then you discover why your mood is your mood. Now, not so that you can go, great, I understand myself now. I know what to do. No, it's because that's a level you could go, but there is actually, your whole being can become an antenna as to what is going on. You're becoming whole. Do you think Jesus didn't know why he had moods? Do you think, oh, I feel a bit grumpy today, what's that? Oh well. Do you think it's possible he thought, oh, there's a pressure here to be grumpy, I wonder what that is? I find it fascinating, like he's asleep on the boat. That whole story. You know, they think he's asleep and they think he's asleep. What else do? And it's a story. They're telling the story according to how the disciples saw it. So he's asleep. There's no way he's asleep, because he's just about to go to the region of the Gadarenes. Yes. He's just about to face the guy who's the physical expression of a regional power of Zebulun and Naphtali, who've lived in darkness, and a great light is about to come. Because that's where that region is. Oh, Zebulun and Naphtali, you've lived under the shadow of death, and a great light has come to you. Here he's coming. So he's not having a little nap. He's in the heavens. He's in a deep sleep. So, of course, why else does the storm arise? Oh, it's just random. There happens to be a demonic storm that Jesus just said. Oh, how random is that? Demonic storm. Shut up. I wonder why that was. Yeah. He's aware. He's living. And then he faces the demonized. Well, more than demonized guy. Extraordinary, shakes the whole region. They ask him to leave, eh? We can't handle this. Go. Because a great light has risen. And not everyone, and people with the ones in power don't want it. Wow. So nothing happens by accident. But of course, we don't understand everything. And you can tie yourself in knots trying to work out in this realm what it all is. And who goes around knowing everything? I certainly don't. But I watch it again and again. I watch it again. You minister to people. And I increasingly teach people you will have no idea what's going on. You think God is working in one area. He's not. He's working in a completely different area to what you think. Because he's working in your deep heart where you need to be worked on. So someone, I don't know, you pray for them, they fall over, and they get up and you think, what was that? 4 days later, they realize part of what that was, because something shifts in them. And it takes that length of time for it to break out into your being. And for you to, oh, wow. And then maybe you remember something that locked you down and you break into tears and you forgive. And bang, something's gone. Well, it happened 4 days ago or possibly even way before that. God never stops, the Spirit never stops working in you. He's always working in you. The angels are always operating around you. The demonic is always pressing in. You're an absolute hive of activity around you. And it never stops. And we go around thinking, oh, nothing happening today, is there? Oh, it feels a bit flat today. Bit of a flat day. But if you're here, you think, there's nothing but activity. Yeah. You know, like round the throne, there's nothing but activity. Constantly, holy, 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 spinning the ophanim, going around, just motion. The whole of creation is motion. Atoms are only atoms and solid because they're in motion and vibrating. If they weren't, it'd just be empty space. So everything is moving. Like, it's a bit flat today, I don't know what happened. Maybe I ate too much pizza. Or maybe, oh, I know what it is. I shouldn't have watched that movie till 1 o'clock. I'm really tired and that movie's going around in my head. And all of these things might be factors. But it's way deeper than that. Way deeper. You may be unaware of the generational wrestle going on over your life. Where your grandparents are groaning because they were denied what they thought was right, and they're resentful and they're crying out in the spirit realm, and you're locked into it. Because God is undoing all stuff all the way back to Adam. That's the point of the blood. It's better than the word of Abel's blood. Second. It's like all the way back. Wow. So, and is that so I can be whole and be generationally set free? No, it's so that everything can be undone and Christ can get glory. You know what I mean? There's a difference, isn't there? One is that so I feel better and have less moods. The other one is bring on the moods because I see and I'm not under them anymore. So I can feel, it can be my antenna, but I'm not under it. It's like, whoa, what is going on? That's a big difference, because I've come up to a higher realm, and the higher you go, the lower you can see. Wow. This is you. This is you. It happens constantly when you go to college, and you're rubbing next to people, you know, and all their stuff. You're feeling all their stuff. You think, gosh, it feels a bit dark today. And possibly you can be aware, well, they feel a bit dark. They feel like they're really a bit low today. What's going on? See, it affects the atmosphere. So this has earthly use. Of course it does. You come in and you're going, wow, they're a bit low. So inside you're going, Jesus, what is that? Thank you, your Lord. I come up above that. What's going on here? And you might get to the point where you just simply get up. What? Oh, how's it going with your mom? And they burst into tears. And it feels like it gets worse for a while, but you spoke the right thing. Because we're not after a quick fix. Like worse, we're just flowing with what God is doing, and that will increase. That will, to use my phrase, get worse. So I find that the more places I teach in intimate environments, the worse it gets. More people hate me. More people think it's extraordinary, and it's both together, and that rattles systems. And then sometimes they don't want you back. Because it was too shaking, or they don't want me back because I've got a bad accent and I just don't know how to preach because it just doesn't make sense here. Why say all that? It's not very spectacular, is it? Is it practical? The Holy Spirit is activating your senses. There's understanding to what is happening around you that's available. But then when you get there, you realize it's not just so you can understand. It's so you can govern. It's so you can love and govern and operate in that realm. Should we ask the Holy Spirit to stretch us wider, open our eyes? It means, we're about to, it means that I drive through the villages where I live. I can tell you where the occult people are, where the druids are, where there's people who are crying out for righteousness, I could feel it. I go past the village and go, well, druids are here. So Catherine said, I felt them a while, but this is what they're doing at the minute. She then looks in the local magazine and there's a photo of a procession in that village from 100 years before something like that, 70 years before, druids doing a procession through that village. It's not that I needed the confirmation, but I say it because it helps us get it, doesn't it? So that doesn't mean I have to do everything. I have to fix all of that. It just means I'm awake, I'm alert, I live. And then I have to grow, and then we have to expand, because like I go into cities, and sometimes I'm overwhelmed because I'm so sensitive to what is going on around me. I can feel, I look at people, I can see their lives and their pain. It's like, oh, man, Jesus, how did Jesus live with this? Carrying the love of the Father, seeing what was going on in people, really? Wow. And he was full of joy as well as deep compassion because he knew people. Walking around, wow, how did you do that, Jesus? Well, Yahweh in a body. How did you do that? That's extraordinary. You. So you will judge angels. So you will have angels around you that will be looking to you for the assessment of what to shut and what to open, and where to stop spirit realm activity. An open spirit realm activity. They're looking to you. They want to work together. Jesus could call down a legion of angels. They would do it. That's the role of a son of God. Whoa. So we have to understand and see. Otherwise we'll release them improperly. And that'd be a sad thing, wouldn't it? Yeah. We're still, yeah, it's oneness with him, yeah. That's it. If you think this is a power trip, well then, you won't get beyond here, will you? If you think it's a power trip, you'll be commanding stuff, but you'll be in deception, you'll be in your bubble. And God's trying his best to protect you. The angels are trying their best to protect you, but like that angel sitting next to me and going, Paul, you're naive, wake up! Well, that's really loving, isn't it? We're having to work hard. It's like, what? You mean you're having to do extra work because I'm failing? Yes. Because you have an assignment and you're failing here. You're being naive. Wake up, stop compromising. Well, shabalabakusum. So I'm trying to work out what to pray. I think a lot of this is too late. It's too late now. It shifts stuff. It's like the healing you sought happens almost accidentally as you go this way, because it wasn't the focus. Well, I'm really pressing. I really hate that. You're just coming into normal wholeness. It's the amount. Let me get this right. The amount of abuse you've experienced does not limit how deep you can go in the spirit. Amen. It is now a potential door opener for you to go deeper and release healing on many others. No matter how many things have gone wrong, if you think you're a unique victim, it's merely a doorway to deeper encounter with the one in whom all things exist. so that you can express him and have the recollection, but not the power of the memory. Your sins and iniquities I remember no more. Remembrance no more. Energy gone, enemy defeated. And the world says, the enemy says, you're not qualified to say that because you've not experienced what I've experienced. But there is one who has, who daily experiences that, who's gone to the lowest, lowest place and is in the highest, highest place. Well, there he is. All accusations cease around him. And he says, shine. Be transformed from glory to glory. It is impossible for the enemy's bubble to rob you of who I say you are, no matter what, if you just yield. Because faith does not generate it. Faith is merely realizing it's too late. He's done it. It's all finished. From the foundation of the world, he created a seventh day, a seventh realm, where all work was finished, and he entered that day and he blessed it. It's the only day that has wrapped within it blessing. It's where everything is finished and you merely do what has already been done. The place of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, the Shalom day, that is no mere 24-hour time frame. It's here. So I loose that in Jesus' name. Well, may the Shalom come through. The Shalom. The Shalom come through you. Wow. Wow. You are so loved, you can stop worrying about whether you're loved. Love loses self-consciousness when you realize you're love. There's no more need. Because love is here. He does not love you because you're impressive. He does not love you because you have physical realm substance that says you're beautiful. He loves you because he is love. It's based on him. It's based on him. He is love. Woo. That's a lot more secure. Woo. Oh, thank you, Father, for this morning. I better shut up. Lord, would you take what we've heard, including me, and open our spiritual senses more so that we can tread lightly into the spirit realm deeper and operate with you. So I ask for the opening of our eyes, ears, nose, taste, touch, Jesus' name. Oh, well, there it is, there it is. Amen.